The coaching show is brought to you by Accomplishment Coaching, home of the world's finest coach training program. Here is Christopher McAuliffe, Master Certified Coach.
That is adorable. And we just before we bring on our next guest, we want to shout out to our sponsor. Somehow we were so excited that we forgot to talk about our sponsor. If you're interested in coach training, but not just the, you know, the cheapest or the easiest or the quickest or the most widely popular. If you're really looking for the world's finest coach training program, if you, when you think of education, you're looking for like the Oxford, the Harvard, the Stanford of coaching, check out AccomplishmentCoaching.com. From the very beginning, 18 years ago, they've been intentionally creating the world's finest coach training program. And it's not hype. It's not a slogan. It's really more than double the required number of hours of training, more hours of actually being coached. You're coached for an entire year, each and every week, by a professional coach who's a mentor coach. You've got support for your business, everything from marketing to actually doing the billing and collections. It's just an extraordinary, amazing program. Check it out at AccomplishmentCoaching.com. And it's in a, likely in a city that you can get to, if not where you are currently. What are the cities, Clarice, do you remember?
Yeah, Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, and then it's in San Diego, as well as Seattle, Washington, and Victoria, British Columbia, Canada.
Perfect. And courses are open now for registration. Check it out, AccomplishmentCoaching.com. I think our favorite thing about them is that unlike any other program, like you can go and you can get a pitch from other coach training programs, but in this one program in the world, you can go and actually observe a portion of the training program in process. And I think that's that helps you decide, that helps you know what's happening there, right? And it helps you know, hey, this is for me or no, it's not. Check
it
out.
You can just be a fly in the wall and observe with no strings attached. It's actually really great.
Pardon me. I am horribly afraid of introducing Scott because I am concerned that I'm going to massacre his last name. He's a writer that I love, and I'm so sorry. I'm trying to signal frantically to tell me if it's Eblen or Eblen. I'll just
make
a mistake. It's Eblen. Thank you very much.
Sure.
He's president of the Eblen Group, a leadership development firm, and he's committed to helping clients lead at their best and live at their best. A leadership expert, a global speaker, and executive coach, Scott works with some of the best-known companies and organizations in the world. Also the author of two best-selling books, including his latest, The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, hello. Chris and Clarice. Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Look around outside. Where do you join us from today? Where are you?
I join you from Marina Del Rey, California.
A beautiful place. Also a place that they decided to have my high school reunion. So if people are talking about me there, I can't remember any of it.
Okay. Yeah, plausible denial.
Yeah. Amazing.
You've been working with executives for 20 years and working with their leadership development, which 20 years ago was not a thing, but now it's the big buzzword of our time, it seems like. Mm-hmm. What are you noticing about the overall, you know, arc, if you will, or trends around leadership and developing leaders and executives?
Yeah, I think time and scope, I think, are the two big things that I notice. In terms of time, it is the increasing feeling of not enough time to do everything that I'm expected to do as an executive, to pay attention to everything that I'm expected to pay attention to know everything I'm expected to know, you know, all of that. And then that is connected to the other point, which is scope, right? One of the things that I do a lot is executive education. And, you know, I have 100 executives in a room or 200 or whatever the number is. And I typically will ask the question pretty early in the day, how many of you are in the same job today you were in a year ago, but the scope is bigger today than it was a year ago? And about 85 to 90% of the hands go up almost every time I ask that question. And so, you know, we're living in a 24/7 world. It's turbocharged or exacerbated by, you know, the smartphone. The average executive, according to the Center for Creative Leadership, that is enabled with a smartphone is connecting to their work for 72 hours a week. Out of the 168 hours a week that are available, you know, they're paying attention to their work for 72 hours a week. and some of them it's even more, right? So it's just time and scope, and that's really increased year over year, I think, since at least 2008. I think the financial crisis in 2008 was a big impetus for that. Organizations quickly had to figure out how to do more with less just to survive. And then it became used to that, right? And the expectations are always going up and the resources stay flat.
Or worse, right?
Yeah, right.
I know that Clarice wants to get in here and talk about the book, but I'm interested. That time really caught my ear because it's something that my clients are all dealing with in, varying unsuccessful ways. Not because they're my clients. Sorry, that
Of course
sounded.
not,
I put those dots a little too close together. What are you working on or suggesting or finding is effective with executives around time? Because it seems like that's the big deal, right? Everybody's trying to do too much.
And so we all start with 168 hours a week. So I mean that's the one thing that everybody has is 168 hours. I think the real question though is for an executive, especially somebody who's in an executive level role with the title and the resources and the authority and the access and the information and everything that comes with that role simply because it's the role. The big question to ask is, what is it that only you can do? And it's not, oh, Chris, oh, Clarice, you are amazing. You're so fabulous. You are amazing and fabulous, I'm sure. It's not a personal question. It's
One
a
of us is.
positional question. So right now you're the only senior vice president of marketing. You're the only executive vice president for the company. Given all the stuff that comes with that role and the stuff that's available to you, what is it that only you can do? And that should be a short but a really high leverage list of activities. And it's not going to be subject matter expert kind of activities. It's going to be more leadership leverage kind of activities. So I really want my executives, my clients, constantly thinking about what's the highest and best use of my time and attention because it's limited and you really want to get the most possible leverage out of that.
It's really, really a very important point. One of the things that I have done for years with my clients is I'll say, look, just put a piece of paper on your, or a pad or whatever they use these days, on your desk and note what you're doing through the day. And if it's something that anyone else could do, put it on the list, right?
Yeah, right,
So some
exactly.
things, going down the hall, no, I got to do that. But getting coffee, somebody else can do that, right? Whatever phone calls we're on, like that. Could somebody else be doing this right now? And if so, let's find that person and have them do it. Clarice?
I am very interested in a book. You are releasing a brand new book in October, correct?
Yeah, it's actually the third edition of a
Mm.
book that first came out, I guess, in 2006. And we did a second edition of The Next Level in 2010. So it's been 8 years since the second edition. And I'm really excited to have the opportunity to do this new edition.
Yay. And so the next level, it's called What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Can you give us a little teaser about what we can find in it, what to expect in it?
Sure, absolutely. So the next level, through all three editions, really focuses on the behaviors and the mindsets that leaders need to pick up and let go of when they're moving into the next level situations or roles. And I break those behaviors down into three buckets of leadership presence. There's personal presence, team presence, and organizational presence. And one of the things that's new about the new edition is personal, team, and organizational. I'm just trying to make it simpler and increasingly more practical and tangible and immediately applicable for people. So really it comes down to three things. How do you manage yourself? How do you leverage your team? How do you engage your colleagues? And if you think about those three things as a pyramid, managing yourself is really the foundation of the pyramid, because if you're not doing that effectively, then you're not really going to be in a space to leverage your team effectively. And if you can't leverage your team effectively, then you're not going to have the bandwidth to engage your colleagues, which is really where the value added is created in most organizations, is the collaborative work amongst colleagues, right? And so you're never going to get there if you're not leveraging your team, and you're not going to leverage your team unless you're managing yourself. So this idea of, as Chris, I think, said in the opening, to lead at your best, you have to live at your best. I'm really focusing a lot on both the leadership behaviors as well as the self-management principles and best practices that have really proven to be effective, you know, for lots and lots of my clients and readers over the years.
It's a somewhat easy thing for us to talk to other people about, right? Our clients, you know, oh, I can't believe that you're eating only one meal or that your breakfast is Diet Coke and a carrot, right? What have you personally learned or taken on out of this approach? Are there ways that you're managing yourself, so to speak, now that you haven't done in the past or that you've taken
on? I think so, for sure. You know, back in 2009, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's all good. Thanks, Sam. That was a big surprise to me. I thought I was in good health, and I started noticing things. And for about a year and a half after my diagnosis, things were very downhill. A lot of physical constraints and cognitive impact and different things like that, which was really pretty scary when your life depends on getting on airplanes and putting words together in a coherent fashion. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours who's a health expert in different degrees and fields, she's also a yoga teacher, and said that I should start doing yoga, which I thought was an interesting idea since I could barely walk around the block. But I eventually went to a yoga class and whispered to the teacher that I had MS, because I wasn't telling anybody back then. And she said, here's the deal. If you come here 3 days a week, it'll change your body. If you come here more than 3 days a week, it'll change your life. And so I started going more than 3 days a week. And what I've noticed, I mean, the physical benefits of that were pretty noticeable to me in 3 or 4 weeks. And most people, when they have met me or been around me for a while and they eventually find out that I have MS, are pretty shocked, because I don't, you know, I'm very mobile. I do handstands in yoga class pretty much every day. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that I do, honestly, that I didn't do before I had MS. But the yoga is really kind of a big one for me. Meditation is a big one for me, pretty much daily meditation. Try to pay attention to my diet and eat clean, you know, not a lot of processed foods and more on the whole food side. Those are the things. And I think really the bigger point, executives and leaders today, if they're living that 24/7 approach, are probably in a chronic state of fight or flight, and meaning that their sympathetic nervous system is on overdrive. Mm-hmm. And everybody's heard of fight or flight. What I've learned over the years is very few people have heard of rest and digest, and that's the nickname for your body's parasympathetic nervous system. And fight or flight and rest and digest are designed to work together like the gas pedal and the brakes in a car. You need both. And the really cool thing is you can actively choose to activate the rest and digest response through any rhythmic repetitive motion, like walking or 3 deep breaths or a yoga class or going for a run or lifting weights, or if you're Catholic, praying the rosary is a rhythmic repetitive motion. I mean, it activates the parasympathetic response. And if you have a chronic illness like MS, you have to manage your stress. If you are an executive in a really demanding job, you have to manage your stress. And so I'm really trying to help people identify routines that will help them show up at their best, that are relatively easy to do and likely to make a difference, and you know, get that sweet spot going between the gas pedal and the brakes.
It's really, I laughed because I thought it was something you'd made up, but I can hear the importance of that piece.
It's actually not, I didn't make that up. It's Rick Hansen, who's a great author and researcher, best known probably for a book called Buddha's Brain. Rick is the first person I heard that from, the rest and digest response.
Nice. Anything else for you, Clarice, or shall I dig right in here?
I'm curious what you would say is that one big shift, or that one shift that all, like, effective leaders need to make.
So most people end up in leadership positions because they are go-to people. So I'll ask you guys, what makes go-to people go-to people?
They're always available.
And they know something, or are kind or compassionate.
Okay. Number one answer on Celebrity Family Feud, I've asked this of a lot of people, and, you know, like rooms full of go-to people. Like if you have a room full of senior leaders or high potential leaders, and you get them to be honest, raise their hand if you're a go-to person. Most of them are going to raise their hands because that's why they're in the room. They get, and then you ask them, okay, what is it that makes go-to people go-to people? Most of them are going to shout out at once, get stuff done. We get stuff done. And so my little joke with them, yeah, go-to person, great thing to be until it's no longer a great thing to be. Mm-hmm. And so when is it no longer a great thing to be? And it's when the scope and the expectations get to be so big and so broad that you can't act as the hero or the heroine anymore and run the ball across the goal line by yourself. Mm. Here's where the shift comes in. You've got to make the shift from being the go-to person to the leader who builds and leads teams of go-to people. And that's your job. You know, that's your job at this level, is to create go-to people and to empower go-to people and to support them and coach them and leverage them, frankly.
Yeah, I love, you know, what keeps coming up for me as we're talking is, or as you're speaking, is the notion of the type A leader, and maybe because I know this from the inside, right? But, you know, it's like, yes, I want to leverage my team. Yes, I want everybody else to do this stuff. Wait, no, I'll show you how to do it right. Let me just do it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, one of the, I talked about the picking up and letting go in the Next Level book a minute ago, and there are 9 pick up and let go distinctions that I talk about in that book, 3 each for personal, team, and organizational presence. And the very first one for the team part of the book is pick up team reliance, let go of self-reliance. The next one is pick up defining what to do and let go of telling how to do it. Nice. And, you know, it's funny. I've asked, again, I had the opportunity to have talked with so many people over the years about this. Again, another room full of executives scenario. How many of you have had at least one experience in your career when you look back on it was a crisis or a big project or a merger, something that you were thrown into as, in a leadership role? It's incredibly hard, but when you look back on it, you think, oh my gosh, I learned so much on that one. Almost every group of executives, everybody's going to raise their hand on that. And then you start asking them, so tell me about it. What was it? Well, you know, we had to combine these two companies together, or it was after 9/11 and I had to make these two federal agencies talk together or whatever it is. Great. So really hard, really high stakes, right? Yeah, right. Okay. The next question is, did you have anybody beside you every step of the way saying, now here's how you do the next thing, and here's how you do the next thing, and here's how you do the next thing? Never, ever. And the point is, that's exactly why it was the biggest developmental experience of your career. The what was really high stakes and you had to figure out how to do it. And that's the same exact opportunity that you have as a leader with your team. Give them something big and hairy and hard to do and get out of the way, because their version of how will be different than yours for sure. It might even be better than your version of how, but that's how they're going to grow, is if you give them the big thing, you know, and you're not giving, you know, there's a safety net in there somewhere, but get out of their shorts and let them go.
Nice. Get out of their shorts. I like it. I like a lot of the way you phrase things. And one of the things that I think this is back from several months ago on your blog that you talk about is simple mantras. Can you tell us how a simple mantra can impact an executive or leader in their role?
Yeah. So that actually came from a group coaching program we were doing with a bunch of high potentials. And one of the women in the program, she was somebody who kind of over-talked,
you know. I think I worked with her.
yeah, you know, it's just like always offering her ideas and just kind of dominating the conversations and so forth and so on. And so, again, I'm always trying to get my clients to focus on things that are easy to do and likely to make a difference. And so her little mantra for herself, which was relatively easy for her to do and remember and to say to herself, and made a great big difference in the way she showed up, was, no, you go first. Somebody was like, well, let's just say her name was Rebecca. Rebecca, what do you think? Well, you know, it's not, you know, I have my own thoughts, but why don't you go first? You know, like, what do you think? And she just started doing that, right? That was her little mantra, was, no, you go first.
Nice.
No, you go first. And it just completely changed the dynamics for her. One is it reduced her stress level enormously, because she didn't feel like she had to give all the answers all the time. But the other, as you would expect, is people started stepping up in ways that she never expected them to step up. So, you know, what's the problem you're trying to solve, and what's the little mantra that you can come up with to remind yourself to do it slightly differently?
Nice. And is there one that you've taken on, or I guess I'm asking two things. One is, I'm interested in your life, but I'm also interested in how this is applied. For example, would it be a choose a mantra at the beginning of the day for that day, or is it more like, no, for the month of, I'm going to focus on this?
That's a good one. That's a good question. I'm not sure there's a right answer on that. You know, I think lather, rinse, and repeat, right?
I mean, until you don't need it anymore, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And eventually it becomes a habit, and it's just the way you do things.
Got it.
And so I'd say stick with it until you don't need it, maybe, is one answer. You know, my personal one is breathe, which I don't think I'll ever not need that.
Yeah.
just remember to breathe.
I also want to jump in here and talk about giveaways. You're being so generous, and you have a great giveaway on your website. Your website's thenextlevel.info. Mm-hmm. You're doing a put into action webinar for anyone who pre-orders your book and provides proof of purchase by October 30th.
Right.
2018. So for coaches who are pre-ordering 10 or more copies, you're going to be doing an in-depth online training session, teach them how to use the Next Level tools and frameworks. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how people can get excited and join?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So as we discussed, I've been out using this content and refining it and learning a lot about how it, you know, lands with executives, going on, 12 years now since the first edition came out. And so I've developed different tools and frameworks, many of which I talk about in the book, but, you know, there are worksheets and slides. Yay for worksheets. I love worksheets too. And so there are different things that go with the coachable moments that I highlight in the book. And so what we'll do for coaches, because we really want, one of the things I have loved about the experience with the Next Level over the years is when coaches tell me, I have bought 30 or 40 copies of this for my clients over the years, and I give it to them all the time. It's just like so gratifying to hear that. But it just really makes me happy too, because it tells me that it's getting out there and people are actually benefiting from it. And so I want to make it easier for coaches to use it with their clients. So for, like you said, for anybody that pre-orders 10 or more copies between now and October 30th of 18, we will stage a coaches only webinar, at least probably 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, if their derrieres can stand that long. And I'm just basically going to unpack, you know, how I use this stuff, and we'll provide those worksheets and different tools and, you know, little PDF packet that people can use on their own on a royalty-free basis, and just go forth and use it. You know, that's the hope and the goal and sharing it with the coaching community.
Really, really great stuff. Well, our time's flown by, and we're down to our last minute or two, and I just want to give that time to you. You've got 20 years of experience working in leadership development and with executives at the highest level. What would you leave our 50,000 or so coaches with today? What would you have us think about or take with us?
Wow, that's a big opportunity. I wish I'd thought about it in advance. What would I leave you with? Well, thank you, I guess, is what I'd leave you with. Thank you for the work that you do and for doing it and being committed to it, and know that it makes a huge, big difference. You know, great thing about the profession we're in is we have a big role in changing lives, you know, and it's not just the life of your client, you know, it's the life of everybody else that your client comes in contact with. One of my favorite ideas is that leaders control the weather. You know, when you're a leader, especially in a designated leadership role, however you show up is completely predictive of how everybody else around you shows up, because you set the tone and the climate. Mm-hmm. As the leader, you set the weather. And so us as coaches, you know, we have a huge impact on weather systems and the work that we do with our clients. And it's a huge ripple effect that we don't often get to see sometimes. But I just would say, know that it's there, and just remember it's a privilege, and remember that it has a huge impact.
Beautiful. All right. Three leadership imperatives: manage yourself, leverage your team, and engage your colleagues. You can find out more by getting, if you wait just a few days, you'll get the third edition of Scott's book, The Next Level. What insiders know about.
Yeah, but they
want
to pre-order now.
Executive success.
So don't wait to pre-order. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to include that delay
no
there.
Worries.
But yeah. Remember also that you want to get that webinar. You want to do that webinar. So, you know, if it were me, I would do the, I would go ahead and pre-order 10 of them. You're going to give them to your clients anyway. Might as well give them a little freebie and get something for yourself. Scott Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks for your work.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Well, that's another edition of The Coaching Show. Behind us, Ms. Clarice. Thank you very much for being with us once again.
Absolutely. Always
empoweringwomen.coach is how to reach you. And if you want more about Scott Evelyn, go to thenextlevel.info.
And where do people find out about you?
Christopher McAuliffe. I'm Christopher McAuliffe, Master Certified Coach. You can go to ChristopherMcAuliffe.com or AccomplishmentCoaching.com or TheCoachingShow.com or AccomplishmentMedia.com. Any of those places. I'm everywhere. Thanks very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
The Coaching Show is brought to you by Accomplishment Coaching, home of the world's finest coach training program. That's all for today's edition. We'll talk to you next week.